This is Daylight Magazine, coming to you from Adventist World Radio Ghana, the voice of hope.
AWR Ghana, voice of hope. Voice of
hope. Today's Daylight Magazine has segment designed with you in mind. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Little isn't little. The highlight of a grand wedding was to be the speech by the bride's closest friend immediately after the vows. The bride's friend had wanted the minister to read 1 John chapter 4 verse 18, which reads, "There is no fear in love." But never, she said, "Read first John 4:18." The minister did aloud. "You have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband." Can you imagine? What a terrible mistake. Well, one may consider a little mistake. A little comma or change in intonation. It ruined a grand wedding. It is the little foxes that spoil the vines. And this is found in Songs of Songs, chapter 2, verse 15. That is Solomon 2:15. If you say, "Read first John 4:18, it is not the same as "Read first John 4:18. Don't neglect little things, friends. a little kindness, a little apology, thank you, curtsy, cleanliness, faith, and I'll add a little watchfulness, etc. Big doors are opened by little hinges. Little isn't little after all. Written by Samuel Cranton Pippin, I am Belle Dolabille.
Hello, listener. You are about to listen to a discussion on the topic I. This is the third part of the discussion I.
The same power that rose Lazarus from the dead is in us. What about you? Are you a child of God? Then know that you have that same power in you. On that note, I welcome you back to A Healthy You. Today we're talking about the I. And before we left, I was getting some jargons from Mr. Papu. He was talking about some humorous, aqueous, and vitreous or something. So, Papu.
Okay, so from where we left off, we said one of the functions of the vitreous humor is to maintain the shape of the eye.
Okay,
apart from maintaining the shape of the eye, the vitreous humor also helps to absorb shock that is directed towards the eye. Let's say, for instance, in a blue, it helps to absorb the shock.
So can I give you a blue light? Let's see if...
But I want to explain.
Go ahead.
Because when we look at when a woman is pregnant, the fetus lies in an amniotic fluid and chorion, and then looking at the function of the amniotic fluid, it absorbs shock. Like when the mother falls or when something strikes the stomach, the amniotic fluid absorbs that shock. In the same way, the vitreous humor absorbs shocks that goes to the eye.
So it's like when you buy an electronic gadget, sometimes in a box you see this white thing. How do they even call it? They capo or something inside the box before the actual, so when it falls, that thing
will absorb that.
So we would say it is a vitreous absorbent.
And then also looking at the structure of the vitreous humor, the retina is behind the vitreous humor. And because the vitreous humor keeps the eye inflated always, it helps to properly position the retina. Because when we receive light from the external part, the light is focused on the retina. So when the retina is not properly placed, it means the retina will not be able to receive that light and will not be able to see properly. So it also helps to connect the retina very well to the back of the eye wall. So from the vitreous humor, we go to the retina. So the
Are you done with the humors?
Yes, I'm done. I'm done.
Today, your first time, you're giving me jaw-breaking words.
So from the vitreous humor, we go to the retina. The retina has photoreceptors, which helps us to see colors very well. So when the retina receives the light, it's the function of the retina is to transmit this light into neural signals, so that these signals are sent to the optic nerve and sent to the brain.
Please slow down. What is neural signals?
Okay, when we receive the light, the mm-hmm. brain doesn't understand light. Mm-hmm. So it would have to be changed.
Communicate in brain language.
Yes, mm-hmm. okay. So it is transmitted to the neural
signals. And is that P or English? No, I mean the brain language. Okay.
So it's mm-hmm. transmitted to neural signals, and then the neural signals are transmitted to the optic nerve, mm-hmm. and then it goes to the brain for interpretation. For mm-hmm. us to be able to know that this is a man, this is a car,
this is blue, this is red. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So okay. That's
the work of the retina.
Yes.
Okay. Gifty.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I will just add a little. That's mm-hmm. the canthus of the eye.
Mm-hmm. The what?
The canthus.
Canthus.
Yes.
Can you spell it?
CANCHUS.
Mm-hmm. Canthus.
Of the
CAN,
yes,
CTA, as in the Tony,
yes,
okay. Canthus,
yeah,
okay,
of the eye, and that's when the inner portion where the conjunctivals meet. So, the layer on that we have the upper and the lower,
the red.
Yeah.
Part of the eyelids.
So, yes. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when you wake up, you see some cream like mm-hmm. substance there. Some people call it in a local MP. Mm-hmm. And it changed me.
Hey.
Like,
I know of the MP.
Actually,
I've never
heard. Yeah. Ashanti, you call it the ni chanchini. And I said, yes, chanchini.
Hey, so they see that as salt.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have the inner and then the outer. The mm-hmm. inner, it's towards where the nostril is.
Okay.
The nostril line, that's branched to the eyebrow. Wow. Mm-hmm. And then the outer is the smaller junction.
At the edge, of the eye. Towards the ear.
Yes. Towards the ear. That's it.
Okay, and you are saying they do what?
They are also there to also protect the eye.
Okay.
Because without that, when you close your eye, they can't meet and close properly. But because they are there, they help.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the eye has muscles
mm-hmm.
that help support them. And the muscles, there are 6 main muscles.
Mm-hmm.
But what they all do, we have the oblique and then the rectus. What they just do is to help us see in all directions.
Okay.
So to be able to roll your eye so that when something is above you, you'll be able to see.
Mm.
When something is beneath or below, you can see at your side and at your side.
Mm.
So it's those muscles which help us to perform all these functions.
Okay. I think some people have very healthy eye muscles because sometimes they can eye you to an extent that you try to do it and you have pains.
Yeah. Consistent practice. You don't do it, but they do it all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Rolling the eyes.
Yes, some can really roll the eye in a way that it would have been better if the person had just insulted you with the mouth. Okay, let's look at various conditions that affect the eye, or let's say ailments of the eye. But before we go, Madam, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I wanted to summarize.
Okay.
Okay, the layers of the eye.
Okay.
And so I'm starting from the outer mm-hmm. layer into the inner layer.
Okay.
And so for the outer layer, it starts from the sclera.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talk about, it is the white part of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the tough surface, protective layer of the eye. And so it extends over the eye's anterior portion
mm-hmm.
outside as the transparent cornea.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about the cornea already.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's just the white part of the eye. And then we go to the uvula.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is the middle layer of the eye.
Okay.
And so from the outer, we go to the middle before we go to the inner. And that one consists of the choroid.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called choroid, and it's the back portion of the eyeball. Okay, and so it provides nourishment,
mm-hmm.
as our brother said, to the retina.
Okay,
and then we go on to the ciliary body,
mm-hmm.
and that one consists of the muscles that control the shape of the lens,
mm-hmm.
and it allows us to see things which is close to the eye and then things which are far away
mm-hmm.
from the eye. And so it's the ciliary body which helps us to accommodate
mm-hmm.
the eye on an object.
Okay.
All right.
You just listened to the third part of the discussion, Eye. A continuation will be brought to you later. May we say that we may have life to find.
comments or contributions, you can contact us on
+233 244 673528
or 0244 235 017, or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
Voice of
Welcome to another episode of Moment of Truth. My name is Agana Nsiri Agana. My message for you today, put on your linen ephod. Put on your linen ephod. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit in us. Your word tells us that your Spirit is in us, confirming that we indeed are the children of God. We thank you for such a privilege, such a high honor. We ask, O God, that as we listen to your word, O God, you will open up our hearts to receive it. And teach us, O God, how we may wear linen ephod to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Put on your linen ephod. Our word comes to us from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18. And it tells us, and the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord wearing a linen ephod. Now, what is this linen ephod? The linen ephod was a garment that priests wore. All priests wore a linen ephod. The high priest, on top of his linen ephod, would also put on garments in blue and purple and gold with the breastplates about his chest. The linen ephod was usually white. And this symbolized the purity that the priests were to stand for and exemplify as they ministered in the house of God. Now we are told that the boy Samuel ministered in this place, the house of God, wearing such an ephod. Question, how did Samuel, a little boy, get in the house of God? Well, we know the story. His mother prayed an earnest prayer, and God answered it in his wonderful mercy, and she dedicates Samuel to the service of God. We are told that every year she came to visit him, she did not come empty-handed. She made for him a little coat, this little coat being the ephod that Samuel wore as he ministered in the temple. How old was Samuel by this time? World Health Organization tells us it takes about 4.7 years worldwide for children to be weaned. Now, it happens in a shorter time in some places and in some other places in much longer time, but about 5 years globally. In the old days, in the time of Israel, during Samuel's time, it would have taken roughly the same time. Extra-biblical sources tell us that weaning took about 3 years. So we can safely conclude or assume that Samuel would have been 3 to 5 when he started to minister. This is how young he was. The first 3 years, and this is a lesson to parents, the first 3 years are critical to the development of a child's moral and spiritual compass. We are told in Child Guidance, page 194, paragraph 2, mothers, be sure that you properly discipline your children during the first 3 years of their lives. Do not allow them to form their wishes and desires. The mother must be mind for her child. The first 3 years is the time in which to bend the tiny twig. Mothers should understand the importance attaching to this period. It is then that the foundation is laid. Now, the Pen of Inspiration goes on to say, if these first lessons have been defective, as they often are, for Christ's sake, for the sake of your children's future, and for eternal good, seek to repair the wrong you have done. If you have waited until your children were 3 years old to begin to teach them self-control and obedience, seek to do it now, even though it will be much harder. What does this mean for our little children today? It means that our little children can be taught comportment in the house of the Lord. It means that our little children can be taught the foundational moral principles of Christianity. It means that our little children can be taught a love for the Word of God. It means that they can be taught to put God first. So often, our children will study for their class tests and end-of-term exams and will utterly neglect the study of the Word of God. And yet we are told, as in the case of Daniel, in exact proportion as the spiritual character is developed, the intellectual faculties are increased. There is nothing more calculated to energize the mind and strengthen the intellect than the study of the Word of God. No other book is so potent to elevate the thoughts and give vigor to the faculties as the broad ennobling truths of the Bible. Counsels to Teachers, Parents, and Students, page 460. Let us teach our children respect for holy things, respect for the holy Sabbath day, respect for worship. Let us teach our children to minister before the Lord in their learning efforts. What are these learning efforts? What is the learning effort? Samuel was a priest. Christ was a high priest. Christ in his death was arrayed in linen clothes, wrapped in them. And when he rose up in heaven, we see him in Revelation 1, dressed in a white garment with a golden girdle about his chest, reminiscent of this same garment. But what is it? We read from Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, that it was given unto the church that she might be arrayed in fine linen, and the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The righteousness of the saints. Why? Because the saints of God are priests and kings unto God, Revelation 5, 9, and 10. Because they are a royal priesthood and a holy nation, 1 Peter 2, 9. And this not only goes for our children, it goes for all of us. When Jeremiah was called, he said in Jeremiah 1, 6, "Oh, but I am a child." The Lord said unto him, "Say not, I am a child." Our church is founded on the principle that Christ and his righteousness are the only sufficiency for mankind. That it is this dress that we put on that gains us admittance into the wedding feast of God. And we are seeing in Scripture that this righteousness is typified by the white linen ephod that a priest and king of God must wear in service in his house. The house of God is not only the church building. The house of God is everywhere the saint is. Know ye not that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit where he dwells? May it be that we raise up a generation of Christians, young and old, who are decked in the linen efforts of the righteousness of Christ Jesus, who are filled with a passion for the things of God as Christ was eaten up by the zeal he had for his Father's house. A people who will stand as soldiers for Christ to war the war of Christ, to tend the flock, to cater for their own eternal salvation by earnest prayer, supplication, and study in the Word of God. May we raise up such a nation of priests unto God. Today, may our linen efforts shine brighter in the righteousness of Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you, O God, for the lesson of Samuel. Thank you, Father, for the lesson of Hannah, who served as his great exemplary parent, making for him this garment. Thank you, Father, for the symbol of the linen efforts. Thank you, Father, that we are priests and kings unto God. Thank you, Father, that we also are given to be decked in white robes, symbolizing the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Forgive us where we have failed, O God, to put on our linen efforts. Forgive us where we have failed to reflect the righteousness of Christ. And Father, please strengthen us by your Holy Spirit to do just this, daily and permanently, to your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you very much for staying with us. Once again, you can reach us on
+233-244-673528
or 0244-235-017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box A5595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
I believe today's magazine has been a blessing. May the good Lord's hand be in your life. Amen. Remember to tune in same time tomorrow. Bye for now.